Chance to look at those, and I wanted to share a little story as we were beginning this morning. Share it here, also share it with those who are online, and that is the last time we were here, so I guess three Sundays ago or two Sundays back, then I had preached on Father Olofsson and Romans 12:12. This is not a test, don't worry, don't feel like I'm going to test you on this, although I might, so... No, this is Romans 12:12, where we were proclaiming that we are to be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. And I shared with you in that message about a time where when I was part of a prison mission team, ministry team, and we were at Lai Chi Kok, and it was 2018. And in 2018, as part of the prison ministry, the brothers decided to do a dance for the guards. If you were here, you may remember that, but it was a powerful moment for all of us who were in that room of humble courage that the brothers would step forward and give a dance and bless the guards. So after our time together worshiping, then Marion and I, we rushed off to a lunch, and then after that we rushed off to the Vine at 4 o'clock. Doesn't sound like a Sabbath, does it, as we're rushing everywhere? But we went to the Vine at 4 o'clock, and then as Marion and I were going in, I wanted to tell you, this is what was on our thoughts. Because after lunch, then I began to have some feelings of doubts. And the Bible tells us that there is one who is our accuser. And this is one of the names for the devil that the Bible gives us, right? And we're told that he accuses the saints day and night before the throne. We are all the saints. That's his job. It's a 24/7 job, and he does it pretty well, right? And so I was just feeling this a little bit. And Marion and I were talking about it, and I was feeling, is the work that we're doing, is the work that I'm doing, is it the work that God wants us? And I was just having those thoughts even as we were walking into the Vine to worship. And as we did so and we were checking in, then there was a young man that came forward with another pastor. And the young man said to me, he said, Pastor Steve, do you remember 2018? I was like, 2018. He says, do you remember Lai Chi Kok 2018? And this is one of the brothers who was there and who was dancing. Since that time, the charges against him have been proven false and he's free. But he came up and he said, I remember you and I saw you preach on this. Now, I want to share with you that story because that story was very encouraging for Mary and I. And you were part of that story, but also it's the story of what we're going to talk about today. A God who sees us. That there is a God that we worship who sees us. And when we are feeling discouraged or maybe in doubt or wondering if our work has matters or meaning, then the Lord meets us on the road and he speaks truth into us. So we're going to talk about a God who sees us today. And we're going to look at Genesis chapter 16. Beginning at verse 7 and going through verse 14. So if you want to take out your Bibles, you can do that. We'll also have it here on the screen. But the story, I believe, is a powerful reminder that we worship a God who sees us, even right now. Even right now, God is saying to each one of us, I see you. You matter. I have a plan for you. I know where you've come from, and I know where you are going, and I love you. Now, we were praying earlier that we choose today to follow, and we choose to hear his word. So I want us to do that. I want us to start by stopping and having a word of prayer, making that choice to hear the word that God has for us. I shared last time that I was born in Africa and raised in Africa all the way up until university where we went to the States. And in parts of Africa, I was born in Nigeria, but in parts of Africa and different areas, there's a greeting which literally translates, I see you. It basically, in South Africa, it's a direct translation. The greeting is, I see you. And the response is, here I am. And I think that's just a beautiful greeting, because when we say, I see you, it means we matter. So let's do this. Let's go to a God who sees us and then respond to him, here I am. Can we do that? So let's do that together. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for the lighthouse. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here in this place and at home. And God, I pray, Holy Spirit, you speak. When you speak a word, it is enough. When you speak a word, then there's change. And you know the word that we need to hear, God. So Holy Spirit, in your power, speak. And then I pray for courage. I pray for courage that once we hear your word, we would have the courage to do it. And that it would become part of our life. So come, Holy Spirit. We know you are with us. And we are here. You see us. Here we are. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to look together at Genesis 16, verses 7 through 14. I believe it has a word for each one of us today. If we look at it together, we're going to do it by breaking it into different parts. That wording is a little bit small, but maybe it can be an eye test for us. So that's not the right one, actually. Let's go to this one. Nope. Let's see. Let's go here. How about this one? Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so this is Genesis 17, or 16, 7 through 9. And I'd like us to read it together. I'm going to ask for your help as we do this, as we read this together. There's a need for a context here, though, because this is part of a well-known story, but this is a little-known part of that story. But the well-known story is about Abraham and Sarah, or at this point, Abram and Sarai. And God has made a promise to Abraham in saying that your descendants will be multitudes. They'll be like stars in the sky, he says. And then he gives that promise, and then 10 years passes, and there's no answer to that promise. And so Abraham and Sarah do what we often do when we can't wait for God and we take matters into our own hand, right? And so they do that. And so in the custom of the time, Sarah gives Hagar, the Egyptian slave girl, to Abraham. Hagar becomes pregnant, and then, as we can know, this is not going to end well, right? And so there's conflict, there's messiness between Sarah and Hagar. And I love how the Bible, it doesn't try to sugarcoat the stories, right? The Bible, many of the biblical families are a mess. They're kind of like ours, and that's the point, is that sometimes in our lives we have different messes. But in this case, there was a mess. Sarah was harshly treating Hagar. Hagar left, ran away, and this is where we pick up in verse 7. So let's read this together. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. The angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. Okay, so I think this morning what we'll do is we'll take the scripture in chunks. So we'll go through the whole of the verses, but let's just do a little bit at a time and say, okay, what does this say to us? What does this mean to us? And right in the very first verse, we read, the angel of the Lord found her by a spring. Now, this spring was about a week's travel, so she had been traveling for a while in the wilderness. And I love this simple message, the angel of the Lord found her. Because here's the truth, is that the God who sees you seeks you. The God who sees you is seeking you. He's finding you. And when he finds her, he asks this, these two questions. And those are the two questions we're going to look at. Now, this is described as an angel of the Lord. And later, Hagar would say, I saw the Lord. And so there's a big debate theologically of, was this the Lord himself? Was this the pre-incarnate Christ? Was this God? Was this... And it's often like that with us, right? We know God has spoken to us, but we're not sure exactly how it was God. And that's what's happening here is God is speaking to her, and he asks her these two questions. Now, when he asks her these two questions, there's something beautiful going on. And he says, where have you come from? Where have you come from, Hagar, and where are you going? Now, you remember Brother Anil a couple of Sundays ago, he was talking about Salome. And Salome had a request that her sons be higher than the other disciples. And Jesus said to Salome, what do you want me to do? Because here's another truth, is we often think that we're asking questions of God, and God gives us answers, and that's true. But God is also asking questions of us. And he often does that. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And here, God comes and he says, where have you come from and where are you going? Now, I believe these are two questions for each one of us this morning. Where have you come from and where are you going? And this calls for a spiritual engagement to be able to answer these questions. So let's look first at where have you come from? You know, earlier we sang about a wonderful counselor, right? And Jesus is our wonderful counselor. And a great counseling question is this first one, where have you come from? If you go to a counselor, you go to a coach, they'll talk about where have you come from and where are you going because they know they're healing questions. And I believe this is a healing question for us this morning. Where have you come from? What's in your past? Because we all have a past. And in all of our past, there is good and there is some bad. And both can keep us from the presence of God right now and from the promises of God in the future if we let them, if we run from them. So think about the past. You know, if it's good in your past, there's glory days, and that's a beautiful thing. But then we can stay in the glory days. In the prayer time before we began, the prayer was lifted up that Lighthouse has been 30 years with a lot of glory days, but we can't stay in those glory days. As individuals, you might have thought back, boy, those were the good days, and we want to stay there, but the good days are now. You may have bad in your past. There may have been things that have been done to you, or there are things that you have done either to yourself or to others, and you're having a hard time letting go of that. And God says to us, where have you come from? Where have you come from? And I want you to know a couple of things. If you are struggling to let go of something, something you would have, should have, sometimes I think my middle name is should have, like I should have done this or I should have done that, right? But that's not God's name. God's name is I see you. And he asks us this question, where are we coming from? So I want you to know there is nothing in your past that cannot be redeemed for good. There is nothing in your past that if you do not give that to God, then he will not take it and use it for good. Here's the truth, and that is we worship a zero-waste God, right? Zero-waste God. God is not going to waste a hurt. In Saing Poon, it's kind of a trendy area now, so all these trendy shops, and there's some stores there that are zero-waste stores, right? And it's kind of the trend now to be zero waste. But God has always been trendy, right? From the very beginning, he's been zero waste. He's not going to waste a good, and he's not going to waste a bad if we give it to him. So take this, if this is you, as a message of hope, that if you give whatever it is that may be holding you back from the full promises of God, we worship a redeemer. There is a redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord, we sing. And this is the one we come to. So God says, where have you come from? Now, Hagar's honest, right? What does Hagar say? I'm running away. That's what I do. I run away from things when they get messy. Now, here's an interesting thing is her name actually means several different things. The root partly means flight and running away. She's in flight. It also partly means stranger, one who doesn't belong. And she's an Egyptian slave. And it also means has a tint of fear in it. And this is Hagar. Hagar says, I don't belong, and I'm running away. And she's probably running home because the road to Shur is going towards Egypt. And she's afraid. So if this is us, if we're not wanting to face whatever it is, we're really just running, maybe not physically, but spiritually and emotionally, then God says to us, he meets us on the road. And he says, we can address this. We can do this together. I see you. I see your situation. And there is a plan for you. And so then what he says, she says, I'm fleeing from my mistress, Sarai. And the angel says to her, return to your mistress and submit to her. Right? Now, I'm guessing that's probably the last thing Hagar wanted to hear. Right? She probably wanted to hear, actually, if you go this way, it's a faster way home. Or there's a chariot coming in about a day, and that will help you. But basically, God says to her, submit and go back and serve. Now, talk about humble courage. This is Hagar lifting up humble courage because she's going to do this. And I want to be very, very clear with us this morning. There are some times in our lives where we find ourselves in a dangerous situation that is dangerous for our own safety or for another's safety, and we need to get out of that situation. And God will help us get out of that situation. And five chapters on, Hagar will leave with Ishmael, and God will bless that. Because that was the time for that, 10 years. But this time is not to run. This time is to return. So I want to lay that before you because we don't know. It's not like a blanket formula, you always do this. But we do discern. And in this case, the case is you need to go back and serve. I wonder if that might be a message for us. Maybe we're leaving a relationship, or maybe we're just saying, I'll be in that relationship, but I'm not really going to be in that relationship. And maybe God is saying to her and to us, you need to turn around. You need to repent. That's what repent means, turn around. And basically what God is doing to Hagar is turning her around. And you need to go, and you need to serve. I don't know, but I do know that God sees us. He sees our past. And I want to encourage you again that we worship a zero-waste God. When I started out after university, I started in business. And I was in business for about 10 years for a company. It's called Anderson Consulting. Now it's called Accenture. And then felt the call of God to become a pastor. And so I left the call to be a business person, which is every bit as valid as the call to be a pastor, and I came into that role. But I came in with a little bit of questions, and my question was, God, did I waste those 10 years doing that when I could have been doing, if you're calling me to this, why didn't we start 10 years ago? And Marion, in her wisdom, said, God doesn't waste anything. He will use the last chapter for this chapter, and he did. Throughout our ministry, even today, God has used our business background in our ministry. A year ago, I shared last time, we felt called to go to work at the University of Hong Kong. And I'm pretty consistent, so I was like, well, should I have come here earlier? And will that time be wasted, the 20 years? And again, God said, no. And so this week, I was able to be part of a faculty prayer time and lead a devotion in this time. And then on Friday morning, I had a lunch with a person from the business school. And as we were sharing our backgrounds, he said, yeah, I used to work for a company. It was called Anders Consulting. Now it's called Accenture. And I was like, me too. Why? Because God sees us. Where have you come from? all of that can be brought to the Lord, and now the promises are really going to begin in the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, is this helpful? Okay, stay with me because I need your help to read the next passage here. Actually, one little verse I'm going to share with you because... So this is Philippians. And so one thing that God is telling Hagar, he says you have to address it, you have to face it, but you have to face it in light of what's to come in the future. And here's a beautiful quote from Paul. Paul had a past, right? Paul was involved with the killing of the first martyr, Stephen. He had a past. He also had a good past. He was the student, star student of Gamaliel, the top rabbi. He had a good and bad like us in his past. But this is what he says. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, he says, I'm going to take all that, but I'm really going to look forward to the future. And that's where we want to come now as we go into the next part of the verse. So I need your help here. So verse 10, we carry on the story. The angel of the Lord, I will surely multiply your offspring so that they over and against all his kinsmen. Amen. You guys are doing great. Thank you. This may not sound like a blessing, right? This may kind of sound like a curse. And you're wondering, I thought this was going to be good in terms of what's coming. And it is, but we have to understand it a little bit more. We have to understand a few things. First of all, we have to understand when the angel recognizes and affirms that, yes, she is pregnant. Now, she knew she was pregnant, but she doesn't know if she's having a boy or a girl. And he says, you're going to have a boy, Ishmael. And then he says, this boy will be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone. And that's the part that sounds, that sounds challenging, right? But we need to understand that the wild donkey of that time was actually a positive thing. The wild donkey was known for strength, being a donkey, but also known for their independence in terms of the wildness that it lived out in the wilderness. It was a strong and independent individual who did life their own way. In other words, they didn't conform to the norms of their time. This is the prophecy for Ishmael. Now, you and I know that when we don't do things the way other people do them, sometimes we make enemies, right? Just think of any organization as you try to do new things, then sometimes that can happen. And This is what the angel is proclaiming over Ishmael. And I want to say that we know the story, and we know that Ishmael and Hagar would have to leave. And we know that there is trouble to come. But in Genesis 25, there's a beautiful little line that just says, and Ishmael and Isaac buried Abraham, their father. So at the end, there had been reconciliation coming together. But here's what I want us to focus on in verse 10. The angel says to Hagar, your descendants will not be able to be counted. What does that remind you of? Abraham. What else does it remind you of? Isaac. Yeah. What else does it remind you of? Jacob. Right? This is part of this whole salvation plan. It also reminds us of David and his descendants. And it reminds us to a lot of other men and leaders in the Old Testament. This is the only woman that this proclamation was given to. And it's so beautiful that the God who sees us, you know, last week, Anil spoke on Elijah, this great prophet, and he does, but he also speaks to the rest of us not just to kings and patriarchs and prophets, but to Hagar, the slave girl, the Egyptian who's there. And she gets this beautiful prophecy that says, I've got a plan for you. Go back, but live your present in the future of promises of what we are doing here. And he proclaims that to her. And again, her name means stranger. Her name means flight. Her name means a little afraid. I wonder if we feel those things. Do we feel like a stranger sometimes? Like we don't belong? Do we feel a little afraid sometimes? Do we feel like, okay, I know there's flight or fight. I'm not going to win in the fight, so I better flight. If we feel that, we're having a Hagar moment. And a God who comes to us, all of us, and says, you matter. I see you. I see where you are, and I have a plan for you. And I have a plan for you, not only as individuals, but as churches. And I believe that this is a word that God is speaking over the Lighthouse. You've had a wonderful past, and God sees where you are. And he has a wonderful present and a promise coming forward for us. Now, this question, because now we're on to the second question, right? Because the first question is, where have you come from? This is, where are you going? Now, that's a harder question to answer, right? You could probably tell me where you've come from. But can you tell me where you're going? Hagar doesn't even try to answer the question. Hagar just says, I'm running away from my past, from my present. And so let me give you a couple of thoughts about how we answer the next question. Where are we going? Because we know where we're going is good. We know where we're going is going to be challenging. We know where we're going is in the future. We know where we're going is possible. That's how we defined hope last time I was here. So we know we work in hope. But how can we know that today in a way that's encouraging? So I want to give us two thoughts about that. First thought I want to give us is I have found that I rarely know where the road is leading, right? But I often know, and Marion and I know, we're on the right road. And God will affirm that for us. We'll affirm that for you. As we pray, God, I don't know where this road is going, but please show us a road sign that says I'm on the right road. Now, actually, Hagar was on the wrong road. And God met her and said, you're going the wrong way. You need to go that way. But God meets us, and he gives us a sign. And as we've prayed, then sometimes I just pray, God, just give us a little sign. Most often, that sign comes in a verse or in a devotional thought from one of our Christian brothers and sisters. This morning, the devotional thought that was sent to me is that often God uses people who are overlooked and undervalued. Now, that was a road sign for me that says, God sees us. We're on the right road. But that's also another message because it's saying the same thing. If we're feeling overlooked and undervalued, we're a prime opportunity for God to use. So that's the one thing you might try is, God, just show me if I'm on the right road. Encourage me. God loves to encourage us. But there's something else that I want to show us, and that oftentimes, let's see, where are we here? Oftentimes, we kind of think that the greats among us, and the greats we define as these whoever is the latest kind of great spiritual pastor or preacher or writer or in the past. Thomas Merton was one of those. Thomas Merton is sometimes called everybody's favorite Trappist monk, but he just had beautiful insights, and he always seemed to know where he was going. And when you read his literature, it just brings you close to God. But this is what he prayed. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, but I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I am doing. So let me encourage you with that word. The desire to please God pleases God. Amen? Let's say that again. The desire to please God pleases God. Pleases God. Because we don't know often. And this is an honest, truthful comment of a spiritual leader being vulnerable. But the desire pleases him. So I give that as a word of encouragement. So let's wrap up the passage as we go on with the very last two verses. So again, I need your help. So here we go. Verse 13. So. Okay, you see why I ask you to read it, right? So, yeah, therefore the well was called, I'm not sure what that is. Bir Lahairai, you know, it's between Kadesh and Berea. So this is a beautiful thing. So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her. You are a God of seeing, for she said, truly I have seen him who looks after me. Isn't that beautiful? Now, I'm going to try to make it even more beautiful because naming in the Bible is, like in many of our cultures, so important. And only the powerful one in the patriarchy or whatever can give the name of that generation or whatever. Naming in the Bible was seen as a power that if you could name something, you had that power. So here's a beautiful thing that's happening. God himself, maker of heaven and earth, is humbling himself before this slave girl from Egypt who feels like a stranger and is running away and feels afraid, and he lets her name him. This is the first name given to God in the Bible, and it's a beautiful name. The name is El Roi, the God who sees me. Because God knows that she's going to be a single mom. And she needs strength for the journey. So not only does he meet her, but he empowers her. And he receives that name. And it's this beautiful name of seeing that God has seen. Because names have meaning in the Bible, right? I told you that I was born in Nigeria, and one of the names in Nigeria is Babatunde. And it's actually shared in different parts of Africa. Baba just means father, and Tunde means return. So, you know, there's stories. My brothers, they're normally for its grandsons, but in the tradition, when the baby is born, then you give this name. And the tradition in our story, in our family, is that the boys, we have three boys, they're Babatunde because we were born with no hair, and my dad had no hair, right? So, nothing very spiritual in that, okay? But this is deeply spiritual. This is the saying, call me a God who sees you. Call me a God who cares for you. And then it goes on and it says, therefore, the well was called Ber Lahai Roi. And I didn't do much better. So, and it lies between Kadesh and Bered. And what this is saying, the Ber Lahai Roi is basically saying a lot of things. It's talking about the God who sees, but it also has a sense of, could I meet God there? As if there was a little bit of surprise that God would meet her in the desert. And you may wonder, can God meet you where you are? And the answer is yes. And then it goes on and says, it lies between Kadesh and Bered. Why is that important? Because what the writer is saying, this really happened. There's a physical space. You can chart it on a map. This really happened. This happened at the lighthouse, which is on Hill Road, which is off of Nathan Road. That's what this is saying, is that God is here right now. That God comes to us and God says to us, I see you and I have a plan for you and you matter. And it happens right here in Hong Kong where we live. A few years ago at Easter at Community Church, I was encouraging our people that Easter, our community, to imagine themselves in one of the roles of the Easter story. And so I would encourage them to be like the crowd or to be a particular role in that Easter story and to imagine yourself right there in it. And so having challenged our community to do that, I needed to do that as well. And so on Easter Sunday, when we were singing this Alleluias that we were singing earlier and the Hosannas and the lifting up, then I was just there worshiping with, and the praise team was leading us beautifully. And as I was seeing it, I saw kind of Jesus coming through with a donkey, and there was a crowd, and I thought, I'm part of the crowd, and I was feeling good, and I was watching Jesus. But then in my heart's eye, my mind's eye, I saw Jesus just kind of turn and look at me. And there was that moment where I felt God. It was, God sees me, and I see him. God sees me. Here I am. And that's my prayer for us this morning, is that each of us would have that moment, that each of us can know that moment, even now, where God says to you, I see you. You matter. The highest form of love is attentiveness. And God is wildly attentive of you. He's watching you and saying, I see you. I see your situation. So why don't we close with a prayer and receive that. Is Melrose here? Melrose is, yeah, thank you. Melrose is going to play a little bit. And I want us to just take a couple of minutes and receive this word and have a prayer time. So I want to invite you, if you're comfortable, just to close your eyes. You may want to open your hands to receive Pastor Anil, or led us in the prayer where we were opening our hands and then we were turning our hands over to let go. That might be a good prayer for us this morning. Maybe you need to let go of the past with your hands down and then receive with your hands up. I don't know, but what we want, I want you to feel comfortable because God sees you right now. And God hears you. Ishmael means, I have heard your affliction, the God who hears. We don't worship a God as just a doctrine and a thought. We worship a living Lord, a Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who meets us on the road. He meets us right now. So where have you come from? What is in your past that needs to be given to him again? Are you running from something? Are you afraid? Do you feel a stranger? And hear and feel your father saying, you are my child. I would come looking for you. And I find you. And I want to bless you. And I want to tell you what it is you need to do. The God who sees and the God who cares. And where are you going? Where are you going as an individual? Where are you going as a family? Are you still dreaming? Dreaming the dreams of Joseph, of Daniel, the dreams of God? Open to all that he has for you? Because God has heart for you in his plan and for me. But he's not going to force us. He's going to offer us. And it's going to take humble courage to say yes to it. And so can we do that? Even right now, say, God, all I have is what I have, but I give that to you. And I ask that you strengthen me, empower me for the journey which is ahead, because it feels long. For some of us, we might want to go to that promise that the desire to please God pleases God. And just say, God, I don't know, but I do know. I want to please you. My desire is to please you. And receive the Lord's pleasure. And it says, yes, thank you. Thank you for that desire. We can journey together. And he will teach us how to do that. So Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for you who came looking for us. And thank you that you find us, you found us, and you travel with us, and you have a future for us. So let's receive blessing on this journey that lies ahead of us as we leave this place. And Hong Kong loves double blessing, so I'm going to give us a double blessing this morning. There are two blessings. One comes from the New Testament, one comes from the Old. So you may want to receive this as a blessing. A benediction just means a blessing. It's a good word is what it means literally. So Paul gives us a blessing. And he gives it from Romans 15:13. And he says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and with all peace as you trust in him. And may you then overflow with hope, not by your power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then here a blessing that goes back even further, all the way to Moses, giving it to the priest, and the priest passing it on today. And it says it's the blessing of peace. And it says, may the Lord himself bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his face. He sees you, the light of his face upon you. And may he give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen.